Okay, so here we are at HauntCon, and this is the HauntCon party. This is the opening party, and this is another episode of A Scott in the Dark. And what we're going to try to do at this particular show is we're going to try to talk to a bunch of people, just like we did for the IAPA show. And right now, though, it's a bunch of drunk people walking around me, and we're having a blast. This is one of those shows that is just as much about the networking and the partying as it is about the actual trade show floor. So we are in New Orleans, and this show is... I've only been here like half a day, and it is amazing. It is filled with some incredible people, and hopefully we'll be able to chat with many of them throughout the course of the 3 days that I'm here. I just wanted to do a really quick introduction from the party, just so you know that that is a very important part of this show here in New Orleans. So that's the way we kick things off. So I'm on the trade show floor right now, and I'm talking to Elisa from Scared of My Shadow, which are some of the most incredible leather masks I have ever seen in my entire life. These things are absolutely amazing. Now, I understand that you've had, I've not understood, I've just seen it as I walk by. You have a lot of people that you're talking to. How's the show going for you? How's HauntCon going for you?
It's been going really well. It is filled with lots of different types of interest, which I think has been really eye-opening, because I think as someone who was primarily selling to the haunt industry, I realized that there is a huge interest for the art of the scare, and that function is a bonus rather than the baseline. And so... it's been a very different show because of that, because I'm so used to, you know, here's a leather mask. I designed it the way it makes me very happy, and I feel very strongly about the designs, but it functions really well. It holds up for 5 years in the season and to the rigors of actors. And they're like, but there aren't, people shouldn't be wearing them. I'm like, no, seriously, they're made to be worn, and they put them on their faces, and they're like, wow. So it's been interesting to have people approach it just as art.
Well, I gotta say, the jackalope mask is pretty amazing. That one is a piece of art. It just kind of sits out here, and I can't tell you how many times I keep walking by going, that's really cool. and it's wearable, and I haven't had it on, but you say that, you know, they're very wearable, they're durable, they will last. Now, do you think this is because HauntCon is connected with the Halloween party show, or do you think it's just what people are seeing the season? I don't know. Is there anything you can attribute that to, or is it just you just have no idea?
Well,
and having no idea is completely acceptable on my show, because I do it all the time.
I mean, I definitely am surprised. I made it because I've been wanting to make one for a really long time. So I was like, oh, but I'm coming to HauntCon. Who's going to be interested in a jackalope? Well, I tell you, haunted folks were interested in it, and the retail folks are interested in it. So I'm not sure why. I don't know if there's something culturally that's kind of like hip right now. I mean, I know cryptids in general are really fun, which they've always been near and dear to my heart. But I think having the co-show, for sure. So you have the retailers who are looking for something different. You have the haunters who are looking for something different. There's no reason why those worlds can't come together.
Right. Well, and you know, it's funny because one of the classes that I'm teaching here is on using folklore, history, local stories to inspire you. And when you've got things like a jackalope myth, you can incorporate that. You know, I also look at your stuff and I think there are several little galleries in Orlando, not too far from Tampa, that that do all kinds of wonderful and unusual, like, one-off pieces. There's one in Disney Springs, for example, that has stuff very similar to yours. Is that something that eventually you'd want to get into, just doing some art pieces for those kinds of galleries?
Oh, yeah.
Dumb question, Scott.
No. You know, so my degree is in fine art, but I've been doing costume design for 2 decades almost. So I teach primarily in theater, but sometimes I teach in the art department too. And I realized how much I also need to build art for art's sake. right? So, like, for instance, making the jackalope mask. I'm like, yeah, I'm spending the time on this. I don't know that anybody's going to be interested, but I need to build it for me. And now I'm just like, there are so many levels that I want to explode out, and I want to take the time to have that mask that I've been working on for a year, and then that goes into a gallery.
Gotcha. And it's funny, because when you say you have to do it for you, I've done the exact same thing I think any creative does. They do these things, it's like, well, I'm going to do this because I think it's the right thing to do. And what I've found is when you do those kinds of things, quite often other people agree with you, and they're ready to embrace the artistry that you've put into it. And like, for example, I've written different haunts, sometimes I just do them for me, and the ones that I put the least amount of, well, they have to work in this way, those are the ones other people enjoy more, you know?
I think there's a freeing to that, right? Because I really don't want to burden myself with the constraints of what I think the market's gonna like and all of that kind of stuff. Now, bottom line for me is it has to still function though. Like, I don't care, like, if you don't ever wear it, that doesn't matter to me, but it has to be able to be worn. It's the point of a performance piece. And this is supposed to be wearable art. That's how.
So it is a performance piece. It is a. I don't want to say prop because that's not right. It is one of the part of the amalgam that makes up a good performance piece.
I think so because, I mean, we all put on masks all our life. I mean, there are books and books and books written on it. Margie Kerr wrote a book, and you know, she actually references the same information. These are masks because they are made out of leather. They even become more of who you are. And I think that that's part of the really old, almost ritualistic, grounding of this kind of mask. It is part of human history. As soon as we started telling stories and creating ritual, we were using leather. And so that it has, for me, it has like this really deep, deep-rooted history. And so working in the material, I feel like I am part of a, you know, not to sound goofy or anything, like a greater existence of being someone working in this old, old material.
That doesn't sound goofy at all to any of my listeners, because they've heard me say the same thing. We're all part of an ongoing tradition. We're all part of an ongoing tradition of storytellers. And the fact that masks have been used as part of that as long as there have been stories to tell, either masks or, you know, when people put berry juice in their mouth and spit it on their hand to leave an imprint on a cave wall. You know, those kinds of stories have been going on forever and forever, so it doesn't sound goofy at all. And the each mask, you guys have to see these. Where can they see your work? Is there what's your website, or how can they see the work for themselves?
www.scared-of-my-shadow.com.
Lots of dashes.
A few dashes in there.
Now, before I let you go, just because I think it is so incredibly cool, as a glasses wearer, you have a tag on some of your masks that I think is absolutely hysterical. It's a chicken wearing glasses. Can you explain what that tag means?
Yes. So, first of all, the chicken is me, because I used to be terrified of all things scary, and then I started, you know, designing for the industry, and I've found my place, right? And so the chicken casts the shadow of the monster, and so that's the story of the logo. So then the logo is then carried on to this image of this chicken wearing glasses. Now, why is the chicken wearing glasses? Because I actually design masks specifically for glasses wearers. 50% of the population wears glasses and have been forgotten by mask makers.
I just want to hug you right now. That's so brilliant, because, again, as a glasses wearer, we have that problem where it's like, oh, I want to wear this really cool mask, but unfortunately, I have to take my glasses off, so if I'm wearing it, I'm blind.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to be blind in a mask when they're scaring people, because that is, of course, dangerous as heck. But I think that is absolutely wonderful. I just want to talk about each and every piece here, but until people can actually see it, I don't think that really does them justice. Again, the website, once again, is scared-of-my-shadow.com.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure. Actually, all the dashes probably make it more memorable. I don't know.
It makes it a little long to type, but thankfully it'll pop up very quickly. All you have to do is type it once, and then anytime you search it, it should come up pretty quickly.
Well, Elisa, thank you so much for talking to me. I know I've had, there's three people that have kind of been walking by and picking up cards while I've been talking to you, so I hope I haven't cost you any business here at HauntCon. But thank you so very much. And anybody who's listening who even has a slight interest in masks, whether you are involved with the haunt industry or whether you are fascinated by truly fine artwork, the leather craftsmanship in these things is breathtaking. So check out the website, and I'm going to see who else I can talk to at HauntCon. This is a great show. So I decided to take a little break from the HauntCon show and walk around downtown New Orleans, because it's such a cool city. And especially today, I mean, it's especially cool, downright cold, one might say. But I decided before hitting the trade show floor on this particular day that I would go out and walk along the Riverwalk, see a little bit of the cruise port, and walk all the way over to Bourbon Street, which from the convention center is maybe a 15-20 minute walk. And it's really cool because the whole city is just so vibrant, and all the cool people here, everyone is so incredibly nice. They recognize the power of tourism, probably because they went through such a challenging period and tourism kind of evaporated for a while. But pretty much everybody I've met here has been super nice. And, you know, it's about, oh, I would say 10:30 in the morning, and Bourbon Street is already teeming with people. Stores are already open. There's live music playing in certain venues. And so I'm really excited. I've heard now that the HauntCon show is going to be here for at least the next 2 years, maybe 3 years. Don't quote me on that, but I think that's what I've heard. So if you have the opportunity to come to this show, don't miss it, because it really is something special. And so is the city. So yeah, if you've never been to New Orleans, I have to kind of say it that way or people hit me. If you've never been to New Orleans, you can, it's one of the few places that you can have dinner in a 5-star restaurant and then go next door and have alcoholic slushies poured out of a machine by some guy who's standing in a doorway. It's pretty unique. But I will tell you that the city itself is filled with history and yet very, very modern. The architecture is really unlike anything you've ever seen anywhere else. And the thing I really like about it from a haunt standpoint is it is remarkably inspirational, especially if you want to tell old ghost stories. Because you can just look at some of these buildings and go, I know these are haunted. In fact, I am teaching a seminar at HauntCon this year called Make It Real. And it's really all about using real things as inspiration. And the reason I'm so excited to do it in New Orleans is because one of the first haunted houses that I ever designed for Busch Gardens was a haunted house called After Hours. And it was inspired by a bar, I don't even know where it is exactly, but a vampire bar here in New Orleans that I went to way back in the day when we did the global Halloween convergence as we were planning for Hallow Scream to happen. And it's just so exciting to be back in the city that spawned that idea, and then get to share that story with a whole bunch of people. I have already done one of my seminars, which was on creating sustainable characters, and the response was great. The nice thing about HauntCon, instead of other shows, is that HauntCon is really more about the education. You know, and it's a great opportunity for people to sit into classes, to hear from people who have different experiences, to go and attend panel discussions, and it's less, I would say, less of a trade show, more of an education show. And I think that's what makes it unique, and definitely something that people should check out. And it doesn't matter where you are in your level of experience. You know, if you're just starting out or you're a home haunter, come and hang with the folks who do theme park and have done, you know, big massive haunts for years. I sat on a panel yesterday with folks from Knott's Berry Farm, Eastern State Penitentiary, the Queen Mary. It was just great because we all discussed how we can all learn from each other. You know, those of us who've been doing it for a while can find inspiration from the folks who are excited to get started, who still have the passion, who haven't been jaded at all, and those who are just getting started can learn from the folks who've done it for a while and learn what not to do because they've, you know, already made some of those mistakes. So it's a great opportunity to come to a show like this, and especially in a city like New Orleans. I'm just about to come up to a park. It's like a little square on Bourbon Street, and it's a square that is dedicated to the jazz musicians and the music from this part of town. And you should, if you can't hear it now, very shortly you will hear that even at 10 o'clock in the morning there is live music playing on the streets in New Orleans. There it is. Can you hear it? And people are already gathering to listen. Now granted, since it's cold, the keyboard player has gloves on. But I just, as part of this episode, wanted to give you a little sample of not just the show itself, but also the city. So that's my little walk down Bourbon Street with you. Okay, so we are still on the trade show floor, and I love it when I run into friends. That's what this is all about. And you know, I make this sound so spontaneous. Yes, I knew they were going to be here, but I'm here with Carly and Gloria from Spellbound Stitches. Ricardo's hanging out over in the corner. He's probably going to be the quiet one, going like nodding, which doesn't work on a podcast. But so this is your guys. This is your first real haunt. I know you've done other kinds of conventions, mm-hmm. but this is your first real haunt convention. What are your thoughts?
Immediately, we loved how warm and welcoming everyone else who's been a part of the community for so long was. That was the first takeaway that we had from everything. And the second takeaway was there's definitely something we can do in this industry that nobody else is doing.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's very cool. So you got a chance to see, like, well, they're doing this. Our niche kind of falls in here.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. No one seems to be doing the level of custom and commission that we're interested in doing for haunts. And that's something that we really want to step into.
So was there anything, as far, you know, now that you've identified that there's a niche there, mm-hmm. were you able to do any sort of networking or contacting of people, chatting with folks? I'm not asking for details.
We, unfortunately, for some of the costume houses, it seemed like the bigger kids only want to play with the bigger kids, so we didn't get to really hobnob with them, but we did get to meet some lovely friends over at Scared of My Shadow. They were really great, and we found some new tools to help level up our costuming.
The hot foam people, yeah, the which hot are foam amazing, people. And I cannot wait to play with all the tools that we got. I'm excited about that.
It is kind of like going to a toy shop, isn't it?
It kind of is. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things for me was, ooh, look at this. Ooh, look at this. Ooh, look at this. Mm-hmm. Just seeing all the neat toys, different products that could move us forward.
Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, HauntCon is, when it comes to the actual trade show floor, is one of the smaller, in fact, probably the smallest haunt show. So, you know, now that you've dipped your toe in the water. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of akin to a local comic convention and then going to San Diego Comic Con is what you're telling us.
Absolutely. Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes. I mean, imagine this trade show floor times two.
Wow.
All haunt vendors.
That sounds like something we're going to have to join you in.
It would be fun. Yeah, that would be either Transworld is that mm-hmm. way, and then you've got Midwest, which has its own personality as well. It's a lot more, it's a lot more activity based and a little bit less trade show floor based. So, but there's still a trade show floor, and there's lots of education. Now, you guys also taught a seminar or a class.
Yes.
How did that go for you?
We felt it was really well received.
I think, yes.
We had questions at the end. We had some lovely friends like yourself there to support us. And we got to really talk about something that we're passionate about, which is costumes, and some of the constraints that we have when we're costuming.
When we're costuming, you know, distressing and timelines and budgets, and for being a small company, some of the hurdles we have to go through, being that we're a small company, both of us work full time. How do we make time for this and get everything done?
And have the
and meet our deadline.
Thing. Yes, which meeting your deadline and making your client happy, that they've invested their money wisely.
You know, it's so interesting to me because having gone to these for habit of years, it's interesting to me because there's the mindset has kind of changed over the years. It used to be, yeah, we're going to do it all ourselves, and now it's going to be, let's reach out and get some help. And I thought, you know, you were talking about finding your niche. I think that in your class, you also found a niche as far as what has not been covered in some of the classes that have been there before, and that was how to overcome those challenges. All too often, those classes become weird little commercials.
Yes.
For it's this is you need to hire us because we can do this, and you need to hire us because we can do that. And with yours, it was here's the problems we had. You know, it's kind of like, let me air dirty laundry in public.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, and if you teach other people the downfalls that you've had, you hope that they can overcome those in a shorter time. Because, I mean, we're not that kind of company that wants to hold on to all of our secrets. We want to share it with everyone else and then see their successes. Because when others succeed, you succeed as well. We were just talking to the people over Scared of My Shadow about kind of collaborating on things. And she not only does these beautiful masks, but she does do some leather working. It's not her specialty. Ours is body specialty leather. So we were talking about mixing our two mediums together and then teaching her our process and back and forth, because she might add something to that process that we never thought of. And now look at this, we've got a better product for everyone.
It's funny because I was talking to Elisa, and actually you'll probably, if you haven't already heard her, you will shortly on this particular podcast, because I did a great interview with her as well. When we were just after we finished the interview, I asked her if she'd ever done anything couture, and to do, because I thought, wouldn't it be cool to do a couture fashion show with her leather masks?
That would be stunning.
That would be
absolutely stunning. Amazing. Throw us in. We're ready.
Well, that's exactly what she said too. She said Alexander McQueen is one of my idols.
That's ours too.
And that's why I said you guys have to meet.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have to meet. That's what's
she
so great
amazing.
About these shows.
She was lovely.
And
she
that
lovely.
That kind of synergy with someone else is really invigorating, because you know when you're doing this, you sometimes get lost, and you're like, am I doing the right thing? Am I really good at this? And you start talking to other artists who have those same pitfalls, and you realize everyone feels this way who's a creative, and we're the system that can lift each other up.
And see, that's another thing that I think is really cool about these shows, is that when you come to shows like this, you get to sit next to the other creatives or the other people who get in and actually make stuff happen. Leonard Pickle said something earlier, again, in one of the classes. He said, you know, the person next to you may have already solved the problem that you haven't been able to solve for the last 5 years.
Exactly, exactly.
So talk to them.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't matter where you are in your experience level, whether, you know, you're a home hunter that just started last week, or you've been doing theme park, or you've been whatever, you got to find inspiration from each other.
And we've noticed, too, coming from a fashion background, both of us, that's what our degree is in, the fashion industry is so catty, and this is only my way of doing things, and I'm not going to tell it to anybody, but everybody knocks everybody off in the end. So why make an enemy when you can make a friend?
Right, and eventually you'll be able to collaborate. What when the tide comes in, all ships rise. We all, you know, what you come up with and what I come up with will never be superior to what we come up with.
Exactly.
And everybody has their own style. You can have a set list of directions. This is how it's done.
Different
everybody
product.
Will come out with a different product in the end, because everybody's mind works differently.
And processes.
And their creative processes are going to be different. So you could have the same steps, but the end product would be completely different across the board.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and I'm really proud of the Haunt community, because over the past few years, it's moving more and more towards that collaborative. It used to be, I've got my secrets and I won't share them with you.
I'm going to keep my 11 herbs and spices to myself.
Well, I guess that's a perfect way to hang on to your 11. No, spread your 11 herbs and spices.
Spread your spices everywhere.
That is the moral of the story. So if our listeners wanted to find out more about Spellbound Stitches or wanted to contact you for work, what What is the best way for them to do that?
We have a website, spellboundstitches.com, with all of our contact information. We're also on Facebook as Spellbound Stitches and Instagram as Spellbound Stitches.
Well, I got to tell you, I've worked with these ladies for years and years and years and years. Even before they were a company, I was working with them. And when they say on budget, on time, and top quality, they mean it. And the thing that is so incredibly lovely about working with them is it took us a very short time to develop what we have a sort of a designer creative shorthand, but they always ask questions and they always want to, you know, it's, you've heard the old phrase, you know, measure twice, cut once. Well, they want to ask all these questions up front so that when they bring you the product, it is something that is what you want. They have phenomenal ideas on their own, but they are equally as excited about bringing your ideas to life. So if you are able to use them in any way, shape, or form, and as they say, advice is always free, so contact them, reach out to them, and I promise you, if you use them, you will not be disappointed. So those are all the recordings that I was able to get at HauntCon. And it is now over a month since I've been back. I'm back in Tampa now. And in putting these together, finally, you know me, I'm not the most timely when it comes to my podcasts. Sorry, guys. But in finally getting these all edited together, I realized that this piece is significantly more about the power of collaboration and significantly less about the show itself. Now, don't misunderstand me. The show was great, and I had a wonderful time. Both of the classes that I took and the panel that I sat in were a ton of fun. The classes that I attended from other people were inspirational and exciting. And, of course, as you heard, the city of New Orleans is just amazing. So if you are one of those people that likes to collaborate, I strongly recommend that you attend shows like HauntCon or, well, now is the time that I'm recording this. We're getting closer and closer to the Trans World show in St. Louis, which is another phenomenal experience. But attend these shows because if you are a collaborative spirit, if you are the kind of person that wants to work with other people to make yourself better, these are perfect places to do that. And in fact, part of the reason that I didn't get more recordings is because I spent so much time just sitting and talking with people, and it seemed almost awkward and uncomfortable to pull out my recording device and say, you know, can we get this for my podcast? Because we were just sharing ideas. I will tell you, there is one recording that will be coming up in a future podcast, so I'm going to tease the next one, and that was a great discussion I had with a designer on how designers and directors talk to one another, and I will be sharing that in the future, because I'm going to do a whole show just on that and how to sort of jump that hurdle. But that will be the next time on A Scott in the Dark. Or sometime in the future. I don't know. You know me. I do these when I feel like it. So, yeah, I'm really bad at programming. Sorry. Anywho, like I said, if you have a chance to attend any of the various and sundry haunt trade shows, whether they're local, whether they're national, please take advantage of it, because, you know, you might think, oh, well, I can't afford to do it. And as you've heard me say before, you can't afford not to. You've got to get out there and share your thoughts, meet these people. Plus, they're a ton of fun. They're so much fun. And I have just done my, you know, gotten all of my travel plans done for the Trans World Halloween and Attraction Show. Like I said, hopefully I'll see some of you there, and I'll try to do some recordings there as well. So if you have been listening and you want to be on the show, come up to me at Transworld, no matter where we are, and we'll just chat for a moment and see what, you know. And that doesn't matter, you know, we can run across the street and hang out or whatever. And it doesn't have to be about the show. We'll just talk about haunting in general. Because like I said, and like you've heard in all of these interviews, it's all about the collaboration. It's all about working together. So until next time, rest in peace.